talked about the relationships in the church. Remember we said key verse in Titus chapter number 1, verse number 5. Paul left Titus in Crete, and he says this, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. And so he has left Titus there to put the church in order. If the church is not in order, we've said the church is out of order. So we've got to have the church that's in order. And there's nothing that's frustrating. You've gone up to a Coke machine, you put your money in and found out that it wasn't working, or you've gone up to one and you've seen where it is, it's taking your money and it's not been a faithful Coke machine to give you your money back. And I know we've all done that at some point in time. But how much more bad is it for God's church to be out of order? Well, the church to be in order. Well, for the church to be in order, we've got to have order as far as leadership in the church, but we've got to have order among ourselves. We already talked about leadership and pastors and things like that. I want to concentrate on our order within the church. Now we've got a lot more of the other folks in here this morning from Miss Bethany, Brother Aaron's class. We got a little more in here to talk about church order. The thing I want us to concentrate on today is that everybody has a role in the church. Everybody's got a role in the church. Now I want you to see here in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And he says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors, becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And he goes further and talks about servants. Now, we would say slaves back in that time, but you can apply this same mentality from servants to as an employee-employee relationship. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. So, Brother James, you may want to take some notes on this. Remind Brother Michael of this tomorrow, of some of these things we're talking about. It's getting awfully uneasy. I think I'll just go back and read the text here. Amen. All right, at least somebody's smiling at me. Amen. So, he says, not purloining, that means not stealing, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So we've got the relationships here that we've been talking about. He talks about the aged men, and he starts off with them because we start with the leadership, those who should be in charge in the church as far as their respect, their role. And then he talks about the behavior. They've got to be sober, you know, grave, temperate. We talked about those type things. They've got to be sober in the things of God. They're not supposed to be drunk on the things of the world. They've got to be grave as far as their behavior is concerned. There's nothing wrong with joking and having a good time, but I know some men, all they do is joke all the time. Life's one big joke and life's one big, you know, party, that type thing. And it's okay to show some happiness. The Lord's wired us that way. The Lord has wired us to smile. The Lord has wired us to laugh. The Lord has wired us. He's made us as beings who are emotional. We can cry, we can laugh, we can console. So there's nothing wrong with laughing. I know some preachers don't like people to laugh at all. Well, I think I've told you before, I look in the mirror, the fella I shave every morning, God's got a sense of humor. I see one of His creations. I shave my face and think, boy, Lord, You've got a sense of humor. Look at that ugly thing You created. You know? But the Lord wants us to have an attitude as far as the Christian life goes, an attitude of seriousness. We've got to have some seriousness in the Christian life. Now, he comes down here and mentions the aged women likewise, verse 3, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. So just like the men are to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, and patience, the women, the older ladies, are to exhibit that same type of behavior. Now, here's the big reason. Because, notice this, they've got to be teachers of good things. And this is kind of where we've gone to from last week. It says down here in the end of verse number 3, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good obedience to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, what I've read are some unpopular verses in our society. That's unpopular. If I were to go down to the courthouse lawn and get a speaker, megaphone, and I were to read these verses, I guarantee you I'd get some strange looks from people. I'd get some strange looks. In fact, if you were to go to a lot of churches today and were to hear something on this, a lot of folks in those churches would look at you like, what are you talking about? Those are not the type of things that we do in the churches nowadays. We're a little more advanced than that. Well, I want us to understand, God's got a pattern for the church, and our church needs to be a pattern of what the New Testament shows. We ought to be that. Now, let me say this again. I've said it one more time. I'm going to say it again. I may even come back and preach this on a Sunday night because it needs to be said. God does not envision a retirement plan for older men and older women. He doesn't envisage that. Now, I'm not talking about your earthly job. I'm not talking about that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your behavior, your responsibility as a Christian. God doesn't expect you to retire. He expects you to exercise responsibility. Just because you got a little gray hair does not mean that it's time to hang it up. We're not going to turn you out to pasture. We're not going to just, you know, let you go and, you know, give you a nice little plaque that says thank you very much. I remember with the school that I worked at back when I first started, when one of the fellas came in there, one of the principals came in there, he had this funny streak. And so whenever the folks who had been there and they had retired after they'd been at the school for 30 years, he got them a rocking chair that had the school emblem set in the back, and where your back would sit. And he said, "Well, now that you're going to retire, we're going to give you a rocker to put on your front porch and rock until you die," you know, something like that. So he had kind of a sense of humor on that. Amen. So you wouldn't want a rocking chair, Miss Barb, is that right? Looking at me awful strange. That's what he did. Well, there's nothing wrong with retiring from a job. Some of y'all in here are retired or are working maybe on the side doing some other things, retired from your main job. But the Lord does not expect you to retire from your Christian life. Every one of you in here has responsibility. And God has given the older men and older women responsibility. Y'all ought to be leadership in the church. I ought to be able to look at some of you older men in here and trust you for wisdom and for leadership. I ought to be able to do that. And I've talked to a few of the older men in the church about some serious church matters, spiritual things, And I've had some people give me some good comments back. That's what an older man ought to be able to do. Yeah, I've been preaching for 20-something years, but some of you men who've been saved a little bit longer, you've got some things to contribute that I would be wise to listen to if we'll just give you an audience to do that. Now, one of the things that Paul said is that the aged men and the aged women, and he gives them responsibility. One of the men that I read after said this, a lot of times when older folks approach retirement age, they think their contributions are over, they're done, they have nothing else to do. Men my age, what do? They go out and they start buying those, you know, throwback cars. Now, I wouldn't mind having a Challenger, it looks nice. It doesn't look as good as an original one, but I'm going to tell you, they look like nice vehicles. A lot of guys, they have a midlife crisis. They buy all these cars and other things that, you know, they want to go back to their days of being 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you may get the car, but you ain't going back to no 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. And if some of y'all are like me, walking that weight that you've gained since then, might take you another 18 or 20 years. Amen. Yeah, I'm guilty. Amen. Now the preacher's done, quit preaching, gone to meddling. I'm just teaching through the Scripture right now. But a lot of men in their 40s, 50s, they get this midlife crisis. They have a lot of regrets from their youth. And a lot of older men do. Well, even if you have a lot of regrets from your youth, that still doesn't absolve you from the responsibility to act sober, grave, temperate, be sound in the faith and charity and in patience. You've got to exhibit that for my children. I've got two boys who need to have some examples. You've got a boy who needs to have an example. We've got Miss Janine, Brother Brian, got a son who's got to have an example in some of these men. But I want you to look down here at verse number 4 again. Here is what the older ladies are to do. Now here's what it says. This is where we come to. It says here that the ladies, teachers of good things, then in verse 3, verse 4, that they may teach the younger women. Younger ladies need to listen to the older women. Now notice what they're going to teach. Look here. To be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now that says to me that the ladies particularly that they're going to listen to are ladies who've been married for a while. Nothing is more frustrating to me than to hear men or women who have never had children before tell you how to raise your children. Someone says, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. Well, the thing you need to do is get married, have you some youngins, and start raising them. Come talk to me after about 10, 15 years. After you've raised some teenagers, you talk to me about it. Till then, I don't want to hear it. And I don't mean that ugly, but there's a lot of that foolishness going around. That's why it's the older ladies who are to teach the younger ladies how they are to behave. Now notice this again. The very first thing that comes up again in verse number 4 is the word sober. There it is. That word sober. Now that is absolutely amazing to me that the older men are to be sober, the aged women likewise, so that refers back to sobriety. Verse number 4, they may teach the younger women to be sober. So young ladies, you ought to have a sober mentality. Older ladies in here, and I know we don't have a whole lot, so I'm going to come back and preach this on a Sunday night. But you older ladies are to have a mentality of sobriety in the things of God that my girls, these teenage girls, can look up to and see, that is the model that I need to follow. And if that's not exhibited in that in your life, then you've got to come back and reconsider, am I really living up to the responsibility that Paul tells Titus that I'm supposed to have? Older men, are we living up to that responsibility? I know I've got a few gray hairs. Not as many as some of y'all, but I got a few gray hairs. Are we living to that responsibility? That's the thing we want to be concerned about. Now notice this. Older women are to teach women, the younger women, number one, to love their husbands. See, what's going to happen, young ladies, young men, you're going to fall head over heels in love. Not me. I'm never going to get married. Every one of us has probably said, I'm never going to get married. I'm going to get me a man cave. I'm going to get me a cabin up in the mountains. I'm going to go to town twice a year to buy ammo and coffee and flour and sugar, and I'm done. That's it. Oh, my. This is a much-needed message. I'm definitely going to preach this on a Sunday night. Amen. Can I tell you, that's just kind of the mentality of most fellas. And the ladies, the young ladies, they have the attitude that they're going to meet Prince Charming. They're going to have to realize that, and I've said this some of these things before, you're going to have to realize that that same young man and that same beautiful young woman that you guys and gals are looking at, sometimes they're going to wake up in the morning with really, really bad breath. You're going to see him without makeup on, without his hair combed. That's right. You're going to see it. And some of you girls are going to be married to men whose hair is not going to turn gray, it's going to turn loose. That's right. Help us, Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us. This is going on the internet too, by the way. Lord, help us. I guess I shouldn't even tell you that young ladies, he's going to get your husband's going to get that Dunlap's disease. The chest is going to lap down into the drawers, and it's going to, that big tall chest, that big chest up here, it's going to fall back down. Because I remember one of the older men who was in our church back in Tennessee. He said his older brother used to pick on him. And he said one day, it was right after Pearl Harbor, he was walking to go down to catch a ride to work, and one of the fellas said, hey, the Japs just bombed Pearl Harbor, we're going to go join the Marine Corps. You want to go with us? He said, I took that sack lunch and I pitched it over in the ditch and went and joined the Marine Corps. Of course, he told us, not long, he said, man, there are many days when I was out on those islands, he said, I'd like to got that sack lunch back. And so he went out to San Diego and went to boot camp and then came back. And he said, when I came back from boot camp before they shipped him out, he said, I had a 32-inch waist. And this guy, I guess he must have been 6'3", 6'4". He had a 32-inch waist. And he told me how much he weighed. I mean, he was mean and trim. I wouldn't want any of them at all. Well, time took its toll. And I'm telling you, I could just see that V shape that he would have had. I mean, it was like Brother Steve Goolsby said up here the other day. He said, his son told him, said, "Dad, you need to get in shape." And Brother Steve said, "Round is a shape." You know, so his belly got real big. I'm gonna have to make you sit in the back, sister. That's all there is to it. Now, why am I telling you this? You've got to love a man like that, young ladies. And these ladies are supposed to tell you how to love a man like that. You're gonna have to love him for who he is, and not because of his good looks. Not because of his money or lack thereof. At some point in time in a marriage, money's gonna become an issue. Money will become an issue. And young men, let me tell you this, that she's going to like things you don't like. And you know what you do? You just do your manly responsibility and do what you need to do to make sure she stays happy. If she wants to paint the bathroom polka dot pink, Give her the car to go to Lowe's. That's it. Home Depot. Actually, you want to go to the new hardware store up here on 40. Amen, that's right. But honestly, you've got to love a man like that. You young ladies and these ladies here are going to have to be serious. Maybe I need to go back and get that sobriety one more time. I think I need to. Help us, Lord. Someone says, "Well, how am I supposed to love my husband?" There's going to be a way you have to love your husband unconditionally. You'll have to love him unconditionally. Now, these ladies will have to teach you that more than some of us fellas who, you know, are already guys and we, you know how things are supposed to go. They can fill you in on how things are. They're going to have to teach you to love your children. There will be days when you will have your children and you will want to pull your last hair out. You'll want to. Why is that? Because of the way they do things. Now we've talked about that from a worldly standpoint. But let me go back, and in all seriousness here, how can you love your husband? To love your husband is to respond to him in the way in which God tells him to respond to you. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 that wives, it's not popular, but it's right, are to submit themselves unto their own husbands. My wife does not run our home. I run my home. All seriousness, I run my home. I make the decisions. I run my home. I'm the head of my home. And I will tell you why I run my home. My wife allows me to be the head of my home. And I mean that in the sense of she knows that her position as a wife is to obey the Scripture and to submit. And I know we always hear those jokes, "Well, preacher, we really know how things are. We really know who the boss is." Now, I'm not joking. I'm telling you, you're looking at the boss right now. I mean, the buck stops right here. I'm the guy who makes the decisions. And I don't mean that ugly. I'm just simply saying that I've got a huge responsibility on me to take care of my wife and my children and to lead our home. Huge responsibility. But my wife allows that to take place. And if she submits unto me, you know who leads the home? I'm the head of my home, but we walk arm in arm together, doing the task that God's given us to do to raise our home and family. So do you understand what I'm saying? You understand that? Ladies are to respond to their husbands. You older ladies, you're to teach these young ladies how to submit to their husbands. That's one of the harder jobs. That's loving the husband, is submitting him as Christ would have her behavior to be. To love their children. How do you really love your children? You don't love your children by putting up with their sin. There are some parents, they will, if their kids are shacked up together, living with somebody else, if their kids are on dope, on drugs, whatever, if they had children who were sodomites, they would still invite them into the house and have them sit down at the breakfast table, the supper table at Christmas time, like there's no problem whatsoever. Now I want to tell you, that's not loving your children. That's not loving your family. And I'll say this again. "Well, preacher, just wait till it comes into your house." My mother, Catholic woman, would not let me see one of my older siblings back when I was growing up because she was shacked up with somebody. She said, no phone contact, no visiting. Now, here's a lady who's a Catholic, Why is it that we who have the Bible can't do what we're supposed to do on those things? Why is it? Well, I love my children. If you participate and pat your children on the wrist when they do sin, you don't love your kids. I had an older brother who was on drugs, and I saw my dad bail him out on so many occasions. I mean, this is the guy I worked with growing up. I learned to work what little construction stuff I know. I worked with him probably from about the time of 6th, 7th, 8th grade, whenever it was, on up through high school, even after we got married, worked some with him. And as far as somebody who had the plumbing forefront in the county that we lived in, he owned the county. I mean, the guy owned it. He did all the plumbing for big contractors. Well, what happened? Well, somebody decided that those drugs were more important than taking care of business. And here's what happened. Instead of being the guy who was out in the houses, roughing in the houses, or digging the ditches, or in the crawl spaces, doing what they need to do, you know, we're out bidding jobs. Well, you can bid jobs, and you can bid jobs. That's kind of what happened. And I'm not going to tell you how much. Dad had some money saved up, and Dad went and did a lot of it just to kind of take care of the problems that this guy had built up. And one day, a guy who worked in the county knew my dad, said this. He said, "Johnny, you're not going to help that man out. You're not going to help your son out until you let him hit rock bottom and let him dig his way out." A lot of parents have problems discerning between love and enabling their kids. And I don't know why this is all coming up, but when I see loving your children, what I see is that you older folks coming to these younger folks, when they start having young folks who may be 12, 13 years old to start to raise their kids. And notice this. I think I mentioned this before. Verse 4 says that they may teach the young women. That word teach there carries with an overtone of having some authority to be able to hold them accountable for. It's not like you just say, "Honey, you need to, you know, pop them on the bottom when they talk to you that way." It's you need to be able to pull them aside, talk to them, tell them what's going on, how to handle that behavior, and just say, "I'm going to check back in with you here in a month or two, and you tell me how things are going." That's the type of relationship that we're talking about here. Okay? Love has to be, first of all, those of y'all who are in the Bible Institute, 2 John, 3 John, love never comes before the truth. Love is always based on the truth. And so older parents, older ladies here are to teach their young ladies in the church to love their husbands and to teach them how to love their children and to raise them in the things of God. You ladies who are in here now who are bringing up your children in church, that is the greatest thing that you can do is to put them into a church where the Bible's preached, where Christ is honored, and where people love each other. That's how your children need to be raised. And older ladies should be at the forefront of that. Now, notice what else it says down here. It says down here in verse number 5, it says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, every one of these things in verse number 4 surround the domestic duties of the ladies. Domestic duties. Now, they're to be discreet, to exercise some wisdom in how they personally conduct themselves. Don't flaunt your body. Don't bat your eyes the wrong way at the wrong person. Be careful, for when you act this way, another man may interpret that as an overtone, as an invitation that you want him to, you know, pursue you to some degree. Those are the type of things that you ought to be able to tell these younger ladies. How they wear their hair, how they, you know, do their makeup, how they adorn their body. You older ladies have responsibility. It's not appropriate for me to come up to a young girl and say, "The way that you're dressed necessarily isn't right." That's something that an older lady has a lot more ability to do. Now, notice this, and this is the part where it gets sticky. To be discreet, of course, chaste, that just means that they're pure in their body. Notice this, keepers at home. Now, I misquoted that one time. I said keepers of the home. And the preacher said, no, sir, Brother John, keepers at home. Now, that's hard. Now, what does that say? That says that the woman's place is in the house. That's what it says. Now, having said that, I know in our society that the way things are financially, it's tough. I've been looking for houses here in Hancock County. Good grief. Everybody is proud of these houses, and they're so proud that they price them really high. They price them high. And I understand that. But as I heard a preacher say here just a couple weeks ago, the goal of every family ought to be to get to the point financially where mama can stay at home. Now, here's the thing. You go to Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman, she worked, but she worked from the house. She had a cottage industry. She had something she could do. I know ladies who are in our former church down in Tennessee. They're on Etsy all the time. They do the little needle yarn and craft and all that other stuff. And they try to sell things online and try to make a little bit of money on the side to help take care of things. And that's kind of the way they try to raise their families. That ought to be a goal. I don't know of any woman who really truly loves her family the right way and says, nope, I want to be a career woman. I want to go out. I want to make a career. I'm not going to depend on a man. See, the problem is our mentality, our society is saying don't depend on a man. When God says that the wife is to be submissive to her husband, he's the one who's supposed to go out, work, sweat the bills out. Man, you don't have to do that. You shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have to be the one to sweat the bills out. All you need to do is be able to say, when he says write the check out, you write the check out for that amount. Now, if he's not too good with money, help him out a little bit. You can help him out a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. That's part of being a keeper at home. It's part of running that house. When we get a house, my wife comes in and says, I want to paint the bathroom pink, purple, polka dot, striped, yellow, whatever. Bless you, honey. Amen. Go for it. Do that. I'll take care of the landscaping outside to make sure to where it looks nice. Now, if you want, tell me what to plant, and I'll plant here and there. Plant Hannah's little garden out here. We'll do that. But the main thing I want us to see is that God has set it up to where the ladies being... How many of y'all know that whenever people come to your house, you can do one of two things. You can bring out the china dishes, you know, the stuff that you get when you first get married. You can get out the chinette, those real thick cardboard plates. Which are you going to use? You're going to use the chinette, the cardboard plates when people come to your house? You're going to use the hard stuff that's easily breakable? I'm going to use the chinette. Now, if y'all come over, we'll break out the good china. But a woman is just like a fine piece of china. We keep her in the curio cabinet where she's going to be kept to where she's so fragile, I'm going to keep her where she's not going to get broken. Boy, you listening to me? You need to write this down. Daniel, I'm helping you, son, and you don't even know it. David, you better be taking notes, boy. I'm telling you right. You ladies missed a wonderful opportunity to shout amen right there. Now, I know some of you ladies in here work. I know some of y'all ladies have retired from working. I'm not down on you. I'm not. I'm just simply telling you, here's what Paul has said, that the older women are to teach the younger women. In fact, I would probably say some of you older ladies in here who have had to work, if you had it to do over, would love to be able to go back and spend all day with your children, teaching them, taking care of the things around the house, and doing those things that take care of the family. But unfortunately, that's not always possible. It's not always possible. Our goal ought to be to get to this position to where our ladies are able to take care and be obedient to that. Now, here's the thing that scares me. They're to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's pretty serious. That is really serious. So, you ladies, don't get mad for what I'm telling you. I'm simply saying that's what the Scripture says. And if I go to a restaurant and one of you ladies is working there, I'll leave you a good tip. You know why? Because I know that we all got to work. We all got to help each other out. There's not a thing wrong with doing that. So having said that, that's some of the things that the older women can teach the younger women. What I want to do next week, come back, I may just kind of tie in some of those loose ends. And I hope y'all still love me. All I did was just read the scripture to you. Okay, amen. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about young men. And then maybe on a Sunday night we'll come back and then preach all through this in about 30, 40 minutes and try to be a help to folks here. So, all right. I'll tell you what let's do. We'll take a few minutes. We may get started with the service a tad bit later than we anticipated, but we'll stop and give you a chance to get up, move around a little bit, and then we'll come back for service here. So, Brother Allen, go ahead and dismiss us from Sunday school if you would, Brother.